If you had told me 10 years ago that Little Alfie would be key parts of two of the defining cultural touchstones of the last decade, I probably would have thought you were high. It was less than a week ago of this recording that most of the Western world was a weepy mess, as Bran told Theon,
"You're a good man."
And then Theon got shanked by the Night King. Well, wipe away those tears because there is no love for Alfie Allen in this movie. You better damn well believe we're doing John Wick. I love John Wick. You love John Wick. If you've not seen John Wick, trust me, you will also love John Wick. It is two tightly packed hours of puppy-inspired revenge porn, starring possibly the most successful audience surrogate in the history of Hollywood, Keanu Reeves, as he murder sprees his way through an entire Eastern European mob to get our boy Alfie for killing his dog. All because Alan had the horrible, rotten luck one night of picking the wrong house to rob, and choosing that of the world's most lethal walking nightmare. What follows is easily the greatest action film of the decade. A deceptively rich film, springing from an incredibly simple premise, that blossoms into a massive and unique world of secret societies and hidden rulers. Filmed in gorgeously choreographed action sequences that rely on an exhausted regime of real-world gunplay and hand-to-hand tactics instead of shaky cams and quick edits. Thanks in part to Keanu's insane work ethic, training for months in the actual methods of combat used on screen, only adding to his title as literally one of the most potentially lethal celebrities in the world.
Baba Yaga, come at night, little children sleepy tight.
And does that effort ever pay off? I could watch this film 1,000 times and still be captivated by its brutal, bullet-filled ballet. And Alfie Allen is just fantastic in it, as an arrogant, foolish, and petty rich kid thug, who audiences will instinctively hate from the moment he is on screen. And then he kills a puppy, and the rest of the film is just waiting to see how horrible his death will be, an expectation that the film plays with wonderfully, allowing for a second, more plot-oriented climax after the anticipated canine-related catharsis. John Wick is, quite simply, a perfect action film. From the perfect action film to the perfect action film satire, and a three for the price of one at that, Hot Fuzz is the second in Edgar Wright's Cornetto trilogy, and possibly the pinnacle of the series, a loving send-up of buddy cop films of the 80s and 90s, starring practically half of Britain's population of actors, including the fantastic David Bradley, Rory McCain, and Jim Broadbent. Just to get him out of the way early, David Bradley is terrific, if entirely underused in this film, as a village farmer with an incomprehensible accent. I have family from Newfoundland who sound a lot like his character, and Bradley always brings a charming richness to any part he plays, big or small. It's just a shame that he didn't have more space in this film to stretch, though if you are looking for a fantastic portrayal by him, check out BBC's An Adventure in Time and Space, a retelling of the early years of Doctor Who, with Bradley perfectly portraying First Doctor William Hartnell, a role he would repeat as Who required it. The Hound, Rory McCain, is likewise great here, but also gets a part that is too limiting to his abilities, though he really does bring his A-game to those yarps, as a kind of henchman Hodor. The secret star of the show, however, was its secret villain, Inspector Frank Butterman, played wonderfully by Broadbent. A quaint and befuddled small-town police detachment leader driven to murder and conspiracy by an obsession with the greater good and winning the Village of the Year award. Jim's true skill in life is his ability to portray lovable menace, someone the audience fundamentally buys as being a good-hearted person, even as he does terrible things. While his Archmaester Ebros is less ominously threatening than the maesters in the books, seemingly committed to a conspiracy to destroy magic across Westeros, he's also shown himself to be less than helpful, and unwilling to take any action whatsoever, shifting Broadbent's charming menace into a false concern, someone who the audience fundamentally believes cares, but ultimately is just very good at interpersonal manipulation. With only 3 episodes left in the show, I doubt we'll see Ebros again, but Broadbent's appearances were a highlight of an otherwise lacking second-to-last season, and Hot Fuzz remains just as fantastically watchable now as ever. While the previous two films were pinnacles of action movie genres, proof of what the school of film can achieve, the Resident Evil franchise is an experimental proof of concept, an argument about the nature of B-movies, and the result of a production committing and reaffirming that commitment to a philosophical level of not giving a fuck, and in my opinion, succeeding wildly, from an artistic perspective, if nothing else. They range at random between claustrophobic body horror, buddy road trip comedy, superpowered clone army sci-fi, post-climate collapse neo-western, and zombie-infested biblical epic, concluding with a small, personal story about the lengths a father will go to save his child, also involving clones. It is knowingly and intentionally bonkers crazy. More than a decade's worth of concerted effort from couple Mila Jovovich and Paul W.S. Anderson, and rightly adored for it, with each film embodying the action movie flavor of the month whence it came from. And where else could you see a cloned Jorah Mormont standing atop a tank, screaming the Book of Revelations at a following army of the undead? Honestly, I don't know who I prefer Ian Glenn as in Ms. Moore, the insane ranting clone prophet, or the entirely human and complicated original big bad of the entire series behind it all. He appears just in time to carry these films to the finish line, and eats damn near the entire set, devouring zombies and all with equally over-the-top and restrained performances of global supervillainy. While the effects of the early films have begun to age very badly, they are still high on my personal list of frivolous joy, and you should check them out if you ever need to watch 12 hours just burn away.